This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, powered by BetterHelp.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
My dad erased me from his life, spoiled his stepdaughters like princesses, then had the nerve to ask if he could come to my wedding. So, I'm Nancy, 27, female. Growing up, I always felt like something was off with my dad. I mean, I knew he worked hard, but it was more than that. He wasn't just busy, he was distant. He was like, never really there for me and my sister, Claire. I remember my mom trying so hard to make everything feel normal, but it was obvious something was broken between them. They argued a lot, but it was mostly over small stuff, money, work, random things we did wrong. My dad, James, had this way of making everything feel like our fault. I know it sounds weird, but I still have good memories of him. Like, I got my love for cheesy action movies from him. He'd always watch those, and sometimes we'd sit together and laugh about how unrealistic they were. But even then, it felt like those moments were rare. Most of the time, he'd come home from work tired and angry and just kind of take that out on us, not physically, but with his words, his tone, you know what I mean. He'd make everything seem like it was a burden, and us, his own kids, were part of that burden. The thing is, he wasn't always like that. There were times when he could be nice, or at least less cold. But then as I got older, I started to realize that nice was only when he had no reason to be mad. The moment something went wrong, even the smallest thing, it was like he became this different person. He'd yell about things that didn't even make sense, like the time I accidentally left a light on in the kitchen overnight. You'd think I burned the house down with how mad he got. He called me careless, said I didn't respect the home, but I was a kid. I didn't know any better. And Claire, she got it worse. She was always the one who stood up to him, and I think that's why he targeted her more. Whenever she tried to defend herself, it just made things worse. She had a strong personality, didn't take crap from anyone, but that only made my dad more frustrated. One time she asked him why he didn't spend more time with us, and instead of answering, he just exploded, said he was out working to support us, and how dare we question him. It made me scared to even talk to him sometimes. Then, one day, everything just kind of fell apart. My mom couldn't take it anymore. They'd been fighting a lot, and it finally got to a point where she had enough. She asked for a divorce. I wasn't surprised, but it still hit hard. I thought maybe after the divorce things would get better. Maybe he'd try harder to be a real dad. I mean, I was old enough by then to understand that adults have their own problems, and I figured without the constant arguing with my mom, he'd be more present for us. I was so wrong. About a year after the divorce, James remarried. He didn't even tell us. No heads up, no hey, I'm seeing someone, nothing. One day I found out he married this woman, Susan, completely out of the blue. I heard it from someone else, not even from him. It was like I didn't exist anymore. But what hurt even more was finding out that her daughters, Lily and Sarah, were invited to the wedding. So, basically, he could invite these two girls who he barely knew, but not his actual daughters. Claire and I were pissed. I mean, how do you get married and not invite your kids? It felt like such a slap in the face. That's when I decided to go no contact. I was done. Claire agreed, and we both just cut him off. I didn't see the point in trying anymore. He clearly didn't care about us, so why should I keep putting in the effort? I remember thinking, if he wants to play dad to someone else's kids, fine, but I'm not sticking around to watch it. For a long time, I didn't talk to him. Honestly, it was kind of freeing. I didn't have to deal with the constant disappointment. I could focus on my life without feeling like I was always trying to chase after someone who didn't care. I met Mike, my boyfriend at the time, and we started building a life together. Things were going good for me, better than they'd been in years. But deep down, there was always this nagging feeling, like I still wanted my dad to be a part of my life, even after everything he'd done. When Mike proposed, I thought maybe it was time to let go of the grudge. You know, try to be the bigger person. I figured inviting him to the wedding was a good way to start fresh. I didn't want to carry that anger with me into this chapter of my life. So before sending out invites, I unblocked him on Facebook just to see what he'd been up to. I don't even know why I did it, honestly. Maybe I was curious. Maybe I just wanted to know if he'd changed. What I found hit me like a punch to the gut. His profile picture was him, Susan, Lily, and Sarah, all smiling like the perfect little family. The caption said something about how they meant the world to him, the world he had never, not once, posted anything like that about me or Claire. I just sat there staring at the screen, feeling like I'd been replaced, like I was never good enough for him to care about in the way he clearly cared about them. It didn't stop there. As I kept scrolling, I saw more and more pictures, vacations, birthdays, even holidays. He had taken them to Hawaii, something he never did for us growing up. The only vacations James took were for himself. He'd go on hunting trips alone and leave us behind. And now he's taking Susan's daughters on fancy trips to tropical islands. I couldn't believe it. The thing that really got me, though, was when I found out he had bought them dogs. He never let us have pets growing up. In fact, he got rid of my dog when I was in school one day because it barked too much. I came home, and my dog was gone, just like that. He didn't even give me a chance to say goodbye. But here he is, buying these girls dogs and treating them like they're his own daughters. It was like he had a whole new life, and there was no room for me or Claire in it. Seeing all that just opened up old wounds. I realized that no matter what I did, I was never going to have the dad I needed. He was always going to choose someone else over me. It hurt, but at the same time, it made me see things clearly. James was never going to change. He was always going to be the guy who put himself first, even if it meant abandoning his own kids. And honestly, I don't know why I expected anything different. I thought seeing those Facebook pictures was the worst part, but nope, things got way worse after that. After all the scrolling and feeling like crap, I told myself to just let it go. I was done being angry. I mean, Mike and I had a wedding to plan, and I wasn't going to let James and his new perfect family mess that up for me. But then something happened that I didn't expect. One day, out of the blue, I get a text from Claire. We weren't talking about James much, but she sends me this screenshot. It's a photo of James and Susan's daughters, Lily and Sarah, wearing matching dresses that looked expensive as hell, and the caption said something like, "Proud dad moment with my beautiful girls." My first thought was, what the hell? Because he never called me or Claire his beautiful girls growing up, like, not once. I didn't even know how to respond. But Claire wasn't done. She told me she'd been talking to him again, just trying to test the waters and see if things could ever be normal. I didn't blame her, she'd always been more forgiving than me. But then she says James offered to help pay for Lily and Sarah's college tuition. Yeah, you heard that right, college for them. Let me just pause here for a second. The same guy who constantly told me and Claire that we couldn't afford any extra help when we were applying to colleges. The same guy who made me take out student loans because that's how the real world works. Yeah, he was offering to pay for two girls who weren't even his biological kids. I was fuming. I didn't know if I was more mad or just plain hurt, but either way, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I remember calling Mike and just unloading everything on him. I told him about the tuition thing, about the stupid matching dresses, and how James never once offered to help with our college. Mike was supportive as always, and he just listened while I ranted, but what he said next really stuck with me. "You have every right to be upset, Emily, but at the end of the day, is he really worth all this energy?" That hit me hard. Like, Mike was right. Why was I letting this man who clearly didn't care about me or Claire take up so much space in my head? It wasn't like he was going to magically change and start acting like the dad we deserved. But even though I knew that, I couldn't stop thinking about it. It's like all these years of being ignored were bubbling to the surface, and I didn't know how to deal with it. Then the next thing happened. My mom called. Now, my mom and I have always been close, but ever since the divorce, she hasn't talked about James much. She figured we were better off without him, and honestly, she was right. But she calls me one day, and I could tell something was up by the tone of her voice. She says, "You're not going to believe what I heard." Apparently, James had been telling everyone, like family, friends, whoever would listen, that he was so proud of his new daughters, and he couldn't wait to walk them down the aisle when they got married. He was literally going around acting like Lily and Sarah were his real kids. He even told one of our cousins that Susan and her girls were the best thing to ever happen to him, I swear my blood was boiling. Like, how do you go from being a crappy dad who never cared to now being dad of the year for two random girls? It felt like such a slap in the face. And the whole walking them down the aisle thing, that really stung. I mean, I'm the one getting married soon. And he hadn't even reached out to see if I wanted him there. It was clear he didn't care about us anymore, but this felt like a whole new level of rejection. So I made a decision. I wasn't going to sit around waiting for him to do the right thing. I decided that if he couldn't be bothered to be a part of my life, then I didn't need him at my wedding. I called Claire to let her know what was going on, and she understood completely. She was dealing with her own issues with James, and while she was trying to keep things civil, she wasn't about to defend him either. Then, just as I was starting to come to terms with everything, I got hit with another shocker. Claire mentioned that James had given Lily one of our grandmother's necklaces. It was this beautiful piece of jewelry that had been in our family for generations. Growing up, Claire and I would always admire it when we visited our grandma, and she would tell us stories about how it was passed down to the eldest daughter. We always assumed it would go to one of us, but nope. Turns out James gave it to Lily just like that, without even mentioning it to us. I was speechless. I couldn't even process what was happening anymore. How could he just give away something so meaningful, something that was supposed to be part of our family's history, to someone who wasn't even related to us? It was like every little piece of my childhood was being erased, and James was just handing it off to his new family without a second thought. That was the final straw for me. I didn't need any more reasons to cut him off, but this just...
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, couples therapy that works.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Sealed the deal. I wasn't going to sit back and watch while James replaced us in every way possible. I blocked him on Facebook again, deleted his number from my phone, and decided to focus on the people who actually cared about me, like my mom, Claire, and Mike. I didn't need James anymore. He could have his new family, his vacations, his stepdaughters, and his college funds. I was done chasing after a man who clearly didn't care. I was done letting him hurt me over and over again. Update 1. After blocking my dad on Facebook and deciding I was done with him, I felt this weird mix of relief and anger. Like, yeah, I wasn't going to deal with his crap anymore, but there was still this part of me that couldn't let it go. I kept thinking, how did it get to this point? How did my dad become a stranger who couldn't care less about me or Claire? But as much as I wanted to just move on, life wasn't letting me do that. One day, Claire calls me up sounding kind of off. She goes, hey, did you know Dad is throwing a huge birthday party for Lily and Sarah? I didn't even need to ask because of course I didn't know. Why would I? I wasn't part of his life anymore. But hearing that still hit me like a punch to the gut. Claire kept talking, filling in all the details. Apparently, James had rented out some fancy venue, hired a DJ, and was throwing what sounded like the birthday party of the year for two girls who weren't even his. The kicker? It was happening right around the same time as my birthday. I'm not even kidding. My birthday was coming up, and he hadn't said anything to me, not a card, not a text, nothing. But here he was going all out for Lily and Sarah, like they were the most important people in the world to him. Now, I'm not the type of person who expects big celebrations or anything. I never have been. But the fact that he couldn't even acknowledge my birthday while planning this extravagant party for his stepdaughters, that stung. I tried to brush it off, but it was hard. I mean, this wasn't just him forgetting or being busy. This was him actively putting someone else first again. I remember sitting with Mike that night, telling him everything. He just listened, like he always did, but I could tell he was frustrated for me. He asked, "So, what are you going to do about it?" That question threw me off because honestly, I hadn't even thought about doing anything. I'd already blocked James, so what more was there to do? But Mike's question stuck with me. It made me realize that maybe I wasn't done after all. A few days later, I found myself talking to my mom about the whole situation. She wasn't exactly surprised when I told her about the birthday party. She knew how James was, how he'd always been. But then she said something that kind of changed everything for me. She goes, "Emily, you don't have to keep letting him hurt you. You're allowed to stand up for yourself." I hadn't really thought about it like that before. In my mind, cutting him off was me standing up for myself, but maybe there was more I needed to do. Maybe I needed to let him know how badly he'd hurt me. So I made a decision. I was going to write him a letter, not an angry, rant-filled letter, but something that laid it all out there. I wanted him to understand what he'd done, even if he didn't care. It took me a few days to figure out what to say. I kept starting and stopping, not sure how to even begin. But eventually, I just let myself write whatever came to mind. I told him how disappointed I was in him, how it felt like he'd abandoned me and Claire for this new family. I reminded him of all the times he hadn't been there for us growing up, and how that had only gotten worse after the divorce. I wrote about how hurt I was when I found out he didn't invite us to his wedding, how seeing those Facebook posts made me feel like I didn't even exist to him anymore. I even brought up the college tuition thing, and the necklace he gave Lily, just to drive home the point that he'd completely replaced us in every way possible. The hardest part to write, though, was the end, because deep down I knew that this letter wasn't going to change anything. I wasn't expecting some magical apology or for him to suddenly realize how much he'd hurt me. But I needed him to know that I wasn't going to sit back and pretend like everything was okay anymore. I needed him to know that I was done. After I finished the letter, I showed it to Claire. She was supportive, but I could tell she was a little nervous about me sending it. She'd been trying to keep things civil with James, and she didn't want to ruin whatever fragile relationship they had. But she understood why I had to do it, so I mailed it off, not really knowing what would happen next. Weeks went by, and I didn't hear anything. I wasn't surprised, but part of me kept checking my phone, wondering if he'd respond. Nothing. It was like the letter never existed. But then one day I get a message. Not from James, though. It was from Susan, his wife, and it wasn't anything nice either. She basically told me that I had no right to speak to James the way I did, that he was doing the best he could, and I was being ungrateful and selfish for not appreciating all he'd done for me and Claire. She went on this whole rant about how raising stepdaughters is just as important as raising biological kids, and that I needed to grow up and accept that my dad had moved on. I was floored. First of all, I hadn't even mentioned her or her daughters in the letter. It was between me and my dad, and somehow she made it all about her. Second, how dare she tell me I'm being ungrateful? She didn't live through the years of neglect and disappointment that Claire and I did. She didn't know what it was like to be constantly pushed aside. I didn't respond to her message. I didn't see the point. But that was the moment I realized something big. James wasn't just choosing his stepdaughters over us. He was letting Susan dictate everything. She had become the most important person in his life, and there was no room for me or Claire, and maybe there never would be. That realization hit me hard. It wasn't just about the vacations or the college money or the birthday party. It was about the fact that my dad had built a whole new life without us. He had made his choice, and as painful as it was, I knew I had to let him go. Update 2, alright, so after that whole mess with Susan's message, I thought things were finally starting to settle down. I had mentally checked out from everything with my dad and his new family. I wasn't expecting anything from him anymore, like I was finally in a place where I could focus on myself and my own life, especially with my wedding coming up. But of course, just when I think things are calming down, something else has to happen. A few months before the wedding, I get a call from Claire. Now, we talk a lot, but I could tell right away from her voice that this wasn't a normal chat. She was kind of dancing around the point at first, asking me about wedding stuff, if I'd picked out my dress yet, the usual. Then finally, she just drops it. "So Dad called me." I swear my heart just sank. I hadn't heard from him in so long, I almost forgot he existed. But there it was, hanging in the air like a giant cloud. I asked Claire what he wanted, and she hesitated for a second before telling me. "He asked if you'd reconsider inviting him to the wedding." At first, I didn't even know what to say. I mean, after everything, after the years of neglect, after replacing us with his stepdaughters, after giving away family heirlooms and throwing birthday parties like he was the world's best dad, now he wanted to be part of my wedding? I just sat there in silence for a few seconds, processing it. Claire kept going, telling me that he sounded sincere, like he really wanted to be there. She said he mentioned how much it would mean to him to see me get married, how he felt bad for not being a part of my life recently, and then of course he had to throw in that whole family is family line. Like that somehow erases all the crap he put me and Claire through over the years. It was like a part of me wanted to believe him, you know? I wanted to believe that he finally realized how much he'd hurt us, and that this was his way of trying to make amends. But at the same time, there was this overwhelming feeling of too little, too late. Where was all this regret when I needed him growing up? Where was this when he was giving away my grandma's necklace, or throwing lavish parties for people who weren't even his kids? I told Claire I needed to think about it. I didn't want to make a decision in the heat of the moment, especially since my wedding was supposed to be a happy day. I didn't want his sudden appearance to mess that up. But of course, once the thought was in my head, it was all I could think about. I talked it over with Mike that night. He was supportive as usual, but he was also realistic about it. He said, "Do you really want him there, or are you feeling guilty for not inviting him?" And that question just hit me hard. I did feel guilty, but not for the reasons you might think. I felt guilty because part of me still wanted him there, even after everything, even after the years of hurt. There was this stupid part of me that still wanted my dad at my wedding. It felt like I was betraying myself by even considering it. The next few days were a blur of back and forth in my head. One minute I was convinced that I should let him come, give him one last chance to be part of my life. The next minute I was furious all over again, thinking about how easily he'd replaced me and Claire with his new family. How could I let someone who had caused me so much pain walk me down the aisle? I ended up calling my mom. She's always been the one to keep things grounded, and I knew she'd have some insight. When I told her about James wanting to come to the wedding, she was quiet for a moment. And then she said something that kind of broke me. "Emily, it's your wedding. You don't owe him anything." That's when it hit me. I really didn't owe him anything. I'd spent my whole life trying to make him care, trying to be the daughter he wanted, but it was never enough. And now, after all this time, I was still thinking about his feelings when it should have been about me and Mike. I didn't need to invite him just because he was my dad. I didn't need to let him into my life if he didn't deserve to be there. So, I made my decision. I wasn't going to invite him. I wasn't going to give him the satisfaction of thinking he could swoop back in at the last minute and pretend like he hadn't abandoned me. This was my day, and I wasn't going to let him ruin it. When I called Claire to tell her, she was a little surprised, but ultimately understood. I could tell she still had some hope for him, but she respected my choice, and that's all I needed. I didn't need validation from anyone else. I wasn't looking for approval. This was about me finally taking control of my own life without James hanging over my head. A couple of days later, I sent out the final invitations, and sure enough, James wasn't on the list. I thought I'd feel guilty about it, but honestly, I didn't. I felt lighter, like a huge weight had been lifted off my shoulders. For the first time in years, I wasn't chasing after my dad's approval. I wasn't trying to fix something that couldn't be fixed. I was just living my life on my terms, and that felt pretty damn good. Update 3. The day of the wedding came faster than I thought it would. I mean, we'd spent months planning, stressing over every little detail, but when the actual day arrived, it felt like it snuck up on me. I woke up that morning surrounded by my best friends and my sister Claire, who'd been helping me with everything. Honestly, I felt more nervous than I expected, but it wasn't because of the usual stuff. It wasn't about the dress or the ceremony or whether the flowers were going to look right. It was about the fact that my dad wasn't going to be there. As I was getting ready, I kept having these moments where I'd wonder if I made the right choice. I knew deep down I had, but you know how it is. There's always that little voice in the back of your mind making you second guess everything. It's like, for so long, I'd imagined what this day would be like, and in some tiny corner of my brain, I'd always pictured my dad walking me down the aisle. I guess I had to let go of that version of things, and that's what felt weird. But Claire was there, as always, making sure I didn't fall apart. She knew me well enough to tell when I was overthinking, and every time I started spiraling, she'd snap me back to reality with something like, "Emily, this is your day. You've got nothing to worry about." She was right. I knew she was right. But still, the absence of James hung over everything. As I was getting my hair done, I remember looking in the mirror and thinking about all the times growing up when I wanted him to be proud of me. Like, I'd imagine him watching me graduate, or congratulating me on my first job, but none of that ever happened. And now, on one of the biggest days of my life, he wasn't going to be there. But it wasn't because of me, it was because of him. That realization made me feel a lot better. Mike, of course, was the calmest person in the world that morning. He texted me a few hours before the ceremony, just a simple, "I love you." That instantly made me smile. He wasn't the type to get wrapped up in drama, and he'd always been the steady, reliable part of my life, the one who showed up, who cared, who loved me for who I was. If anyone was supposed to be by my side on my wedding day, it was him. And when I thought about it that way, it made everything feel right again. The ceremony was beautiful. I don't want to get too cheesy here, but it really was. The sun was shining, the venue looked amazing, and when it came time to walk down the aisle, I didn't feel sad or angry anymore. My mom walked me down the aisle, and honestly, it felt perfect. It felt like this was how it was always supposed to be. My mom's been my rock through everything, and having her there supporting me as I started this new chapter with Mike just felt right. And Mike? I can't even explain how I felt when I saw him standing there waiting for me. All the nerves disappeared the moment we locked eyes. I knew in that moment that this was all that mattered. My dad wasn't there, but that didn't matter. The people who did care, who'd always cared, were there. And that's what counted. The whole day went by in a blur. I remember little moments. Claire fixing my dress, my mom tearing up during the vows, Mike squeezing my hand when I was nervous. But most of it just felt like a whirlwind of happiness. I wasn't focused on James or what could have been or any of the past drama. For once, I was fully present in the moment, and it was amazing. Later that night during the reception, Claire pulled me aside. She was smiling, but there was this look in her eyes that told me she had something on her mind. So she said, "Dad called me." Just hearing that was enough to make my stomach flip a little, but I was curious. I hadn't spoken to him in months, and now, on my wedding day, he decides to reach out. Claire told me that James had called her that morning, asking how I was and if I was nervous. He didn't ask to come or try to force his way into the day, but he did ask if I was happy. I didn't know how to feel about that. Part of me was still angry, of course. How could I not be after everything? But another part of me appreciated that he didn't try to make the day about him. It felt odd, but also kind of peaceful. Claire said he sounded different, like he regretted things but didn't know how to fix them. She told him I was doing great and that the wedding was beautiful, and apparently, he just said, "That's good. Tell her I'm proud of her." Now, I know that's not the grand gesture or apology I had been wanting for so long, but hearing that he was proud of me, even if it was through Claire, hit me in a way I wasn't expecting. It didn't make up for everything, and it didn't change the fact that he wasn't in my life, but it was something. I guess I had to take it for what it was. I didn't call him back. I didn't feel the need to. This day wasn't about him, and I wasn't going to let his random burst of guilt, or whatever it was, overshadow everything. But weirdly enough, hearing that he was proud of me gave me a little closure. It didn't fix anything, but it felt like the last piece of a puzzle I'd been working on my whole life. By the end of the night, as Mike and I danced our first dance as husband and wife, I felt this overwhelming sense of peace. My dad had made his choices and I'd made mine. I didn't need his approval or his involvement to be happy. I had everything I needed right in front of me, my husband, my family, and the people who loved me. And that was more than enough. Update 4. After the wedding, life sort of settled into a new rhythm. It was like this huge weight had been lifted off my shoulders. I was finally married to Mike, and everything felt right. For the first time in a long time, I wasn't thinking about my dad every day. I wasn't replaying the past or wondering if I'd made the right...
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one-coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
Decision about cutting him out of my life. I was just living, and honestly, it felt great. A few weeks after the wedding, Claire and I were hanging out. We hadn't really talked much about the wedding since that day, mostly because there wasn't much more to say, but while we were sitting around catching up on work stuff and life, she brought up Dad again. It wasn't anything big, just a passing comment about how she hadn't heard from him in a while either. I could tell she was still struggling with the whole situation. She wasn't ready to cut him off completely like I had, but she also wasn't trying too hard to keep him in her life. She was in this weird limbo, and I felt for her. "Do you think he'll ever really reach out?" Claire asked, looking kind of lost in thought. It was the first time in a while I'd really seen her get emotional about it. I thought about it for a second before answering. "Honestly, I don't know. I used to think he would, but now I'm not so sure." I wasn't trying to sound harsh, but it was the truth. After everything that had happened, I wasn't holding my breath for some grand gesture from James. It wasn't that I didn't care anymore. It's just that I had accepted that he wasn't going to be the father I'd always wanted. Claire sighed and nodded, like she understood but wasn't ready to admit it herself. We didn't dwell on it, though. We spent the rest of the afternoon laughing and talking about our mom's latest attempt at cooking, which was always a disaster. By the time Claire left, I was back in that good headspace, the one where I wasn't thinking about my dad. But as life always seems to go, the peace didn't last long. A couple of months after that conversation with Claire, I got an unexpected phone call. It was from my aunt, my dad's sister. We hadn't really been in touch much since the whole thing with my dad started, but I guess she'd heard about the wedding and everything that had happened. Her voice was calm, but there was this undertone that made me nervous right away. "I've been meaning to talk to you about James," she said, and my stomach dropped. I didn't even want to hear whatever she was about to say, but at the same time, I knew I had to listen. She went on to explain that my dad had been going through some stuff. Apparently, he'd been dealing with health problems, and it wasn't looking great. She didn't get into specifics, but the way she talked about it made it clear that this wasn't just some minor issue. I didn't know what to feel. I mean, on one hand, he's still my dad. No matter how much he's hurt me, no matter how many times he's let me down, hearing that he was sick hit me harder than I thought it would. But on the other hand, there was this anger inside me that hadn't gone away. It's like, now that he's sick, am I supposed to just forget everything? Am I supposed to run back to him and pretend like nothing ever happened? I wasn't sure I could do that. I thanked my aunt for letting me know and told her I needed time to think. After we hung up, I sat there for a long time, just staring at my phone, feeling torn. Part of me wanted to reach out, to see how bad things really were, but the other part of me, the part that had spent years being hurt by him, was telling me to stay away. I called Claire, of course. I needed to talk it through with her. She was quiet for a while after I told her the news, and then she said something that really stuck with me. "You don't have to decide anything right now, Em. It's okay to take your time." That was the thing, though. How much time could I really take? What if I waited too long and then it was too late? What if I never got the chance to say the things I needed to say? But then again, did I even want to say anything at all? It felt like I was stuck in this emotional tug of war, and I didn't know which side to pick. Over the next few days, I went back and forth in my head. I tried to focus on work, on Mike, on the future we were building together, but my mind kept drifting back to my dad. I found myself wondering if this was some kind of cosmic chance to fix things, to say goodbye properly, or maybe it was just life throwing another curve my way, testing me to see if I'd fall back into old patterns. Finally, after what felt like forever, I made a decision. I wasn't going to reach out, at least not right away. If my dad wanted to talk, if he really wanted to mend things, he could reach out to me. I wasn't going to be the one chasing him down again. I'd spent too much of my life doing that already, and I wasn't going to put myself through it anymore. And so, I waited. Days turned into weeks, and weeks turned into months, and still nothing. No phone call, no message, no sign that he even wanted to fix things. I guess that was my answer in the end. I realized something important. Closure doesn't always come from the other person. Sometimes you have to give it to yourself. My dad wasn't going to give me the apology I wanted, and he wasn't going to become the father I needed. And that's okay. I'd made my peace with it, and I didn't need him to validate my feelings or my decisions. Life kept moving forward, like it always does. Mike and I were building our life together, and I was happy, truly happy. My relationship with Claire was stronger than ever, and my mom was still being her chaotic, wonderful self. And that was enough. It had to be. As for my dad, I don't know. Maybe one day I'll hear from him again. Maybe I won't. But either way, I know I'll be okay. I don't need his approval anymore. I don't need his presence to feel complete. I've got everything I need right here with the people who've always been there for me. And that, for me, was the real closure.